You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Gorgeous day in the bluegrass as Kentucky hosts its biggest home game in a long time as the highly regarded Crimson Tide come up here. It's been since 1997 since the Cats beat Kentucky up here. We are live in Lexington on a cool November day. We appreciate all of you for joining us. We will have the head coach of the Cats by a little bit later, many other important dignitaries from up here, but we begin by heading to Athens, where the biggest SEC game of the day takes place. Ole Miss, highly regarded in the top 10, taking on, at least according to the College Football Playoff Committee, the number two team, but the number one team, according to me, the Georgia Bulldogs. And who better to represent the Dogs as we start our coverage this afternoon than L. Duncan. L, we saw you a couple of months ago in Tuscaloosa where you antagonized the locals. I don't think you'll be doing that today. Good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon, Paul. I got to be honest with you. I'm a little disappointed because when I was on your show in Tuscaloosa, you just kind of threw me to the wolves. I was the sacrificial lamb. I had to defend myself. People were coming up to me at restaurants after your show, Paul, saying, you don't have the information and you're wrong. And I'm here, not in hostile territory, at home, amongst my people, and you're not here, Paul. And I feel some kind of way about that. But that's cool. I'm fine standing here to all this fanfare in an empty Sanford Stadium. It's fine.
Yeah, we were there a couple weeks ago for the Kentucky game. We thought that was going to be the biggest home game of the year. We didn't realize Ole Miss was going to sneak in there and make so much noise. But I do want to ask you, before we even get to some of these other stories, we are literally waiting, as you have all week, on the SportsCenter desk and everyone else has, for this Jim Harbaugh story. We still don't know yet. The Michigan team is in the air heading to State College. And what in the world's going on there?
Yeah, so I have been leaning on my college football heads, our insiders, Pete Thamel, been asking him what he's expecting to happen. And honestly, asking the same question that we've been asking, Paul, which is like, how big of a deal is this actually, right? I never played an ounce of football. I know you're going to be shocked to hear that. But I was in Boston during Deflategate. And depending on who you asked at that time, right, Deflategate was, you know, emblematic of the problems with the Patriots and the idea that they'll do anything to win. If you asked other people, it was like, this is all being conflated, pun intended, and too much. And it had nothing to do with the actual results on the field. And I feel like, Paul, and I'm interested to see what you think here, but I feel like that's kind of where we are with this Michigan sign stealing. You know, depending on who you ask, this is kind of something that everybody does, but they just took it a little bit too far. Some people seem to think the players shouldn't be impacted in any way because they're not the ones that did that. Some people seem to think you throw the baby out with the bathwater. If this is happening at your institution, the kids are going to get punished. I don't really know what the right approach is here, right? Because when you're talking about Harbaugh, and of course, everything here is speculative because we don't know what's actually going to happen. But from what we're hearing, it could be, let's say, a three-game suspension. If you're Michigan and you file an injunction right away and you try to kick that can down the road, what does that look like if you do make your way to the playoffs? What happens if you are in the Big Ten championship and now all of a sudden you don't have your coach? So I'm really interested to see like this ruling that we're going to get today because, as you know, very different than earlier in the season when Harbaugh just wasn't allowed to be at the games than what we're hearing could happen, which is that he'd be suspended from the program, and making that Ohio State game incredibly interesting, especially when it comes to college football implications.
Yeah, and I think that, Elle, and I know you've interviewed a million different people about this, but sometimes people are getting the subject of this wrong, where they're talking about the on the field and performance. This is all about off the field. The allegations, the violations are sending somebody in advance. not stealing signs. And I'm not sure how many people really understand it. And frankly, it doesn't matter. The Big Ten commissioner will do whatever he deems best, which brings us back to the games on the field, which we do understand, I think, a little bit better. You've been on Georgia soil, not to sound like I'm quoting from a Zac Brown tune, but what's it been like there in your early hours of your visit to Dogland?
Okay, so I am really surprised by a couple of things. The first thing that I am surprised by is the idea that in all these years since it's been that I've been here in Athens, we still haven't found more creative ways to criticize Ole Miss than by rhyming it with the word that you're going to see plenty of signs on college game day tomorrow. The second thing that I'm surprised about, Paul Feinbaum, like there's got to be more words. The second thing I'm surprised by is how level-headed Georgia fans are being right now. I actually grabbed a group of them. They were watching Pat McAfee, and so I was hoping that some of that Pat McAfee would be inside of them, and they could be irrational like me, and I could have company. But they were very, very measured. I asked, like, do you feel some kind of way about the committee taking Ohio State as their number one team? Do you feel like even after last week we should have? And they've all said the same thing, which is that no, strength of schedule, not there yet, but this is an absolute gauntlet. If by the time they're done with this game and the next week against Tennessee, you're talking about three ranked teams, two teams that were top 10-ish if you count Missouri. We all thought at the beginning of the year, you said it too, Paul, when I was on your show, this strength of schedule is trash. But in the same way that college football tends to be, now that we're 8, 9, 10, 11 weeks in, we're now seeing these opponents aren't nearly as bad as we thought they'd be. So I'm a little concerned because I'm always concerned, but I do like the fact that Georgia has been incredibly resilient. I know I sat on your stage and said, like, what's missing from Georgia is that statement game, hitting somebody in the mouth, right? Like, dominating from kickoff to the end of the game. But I actually like the fact that they've been so incredibly resilient. They have been losing in five of their six SEC games and they remain undefeated. So I'm hoping that facing what I think, Paul, is sort of the Kirkland's version of Ole Miss in Missouri last week was a good tune-up. They are. They do the same kinds of things that Ole Miss does. Ole Miss just does them better. So to me, that was sort of like a practice squad. You get the scout team last week, and I hope it informs how they, you know, approach the game tomorrow.
Yeah, you know, I think what you said about Ole Miss, because this is just not a rivalry of any sort. Next week is going to be a little different in Knoxville, but something tells me 3 weeks from today, and I don't know where you'll be. I hope you'll be with us in Atlanta, assuming it's Alabama and Georgia. Now that's a rivalry, Elle, and I think it's going to be fascinating if we get there, not to skip the last 3 weeks of the season, but I think then the levels of hatred and animosity are going to be ratcheted up.
So I'm really torn in this whole facing Alabama thing. Last year, it was like the bane of my existence, and I was incredibly frustrated to hear everyone say, oh, but this national championship has an asterisk because you didn't have to face Alabama to get there. So that was super annoying to me. But now that I'm actually looking at the proposition of having to face Alabama to get there and the idea that there is no room for error, if everything kind of goes chalk like we expect that it will the rest of the way, Georgia has to win that game or they're going to be left out of the CFP, which feels really unfair, but at the same time, totally fair. So I think that for us to be able to stay in line to make college football history by having a three-peat, right, something that no one's done since they were wearing actual, like, leather helmets, the idea that we would have to beat Bama to do it and that it would all be on the line, I kind of like that. And I hope that this is one of those games for sort of this next crop of Georgia players that will be sort of that defining game. Because we saw for so many of them in that natty with Alabama a couple of years ago, it was like exercising demons. And for the young guys, it was really a great trendsetter. We're not scared of you. This is not the Bama of old. Like, we will punch you in the face and we'll beat you. I think that this crop needs that exact same thing. So, yes, I am very terrified down the road looking at Alabama and the fact that we'd have to be infallible and there's no room for error. But honestly, Paul, we got to get past this week. I actually don't have a ton of concerns about Tennessee. I've got more concerns about Ole Miss just because specifically of the matchups and because we don't play this team often.
No, I mean, it is one of those strangest of SEC rivalries that you hardly ever see. Elle Duncan live in Athens, Georgia. We return here to the Commonwealth in a moment. just a week after one of the epic performances on this stage we've ever seen from Joe Tessitore and Katie George. They are back for more right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
We are back live in Kentucky.
tell people that segment that they just saw where you are on national TV, where you're doing Get Up, and you're going opining and railing and pontificating of all the evils of Michigan and the investigation. Tell them where that broadcast emanated from.
That was at the airport in the Sky Club, whatever they call it. Not outside where people sit, but where they have a fax machine back there, and where the attendants come and go and bring food and bacon and sausage to the buffet.
I think we need to wave to Jordan Rogers.
There he is. There's Jordan Rogers in a Black Hawk helicopter. So for everybody who's out there, if you're traveling through CLT, just show up at the Sky Club. On what days do you do this?
This was just today.
You fly Delta?
Yeah, Thursday. It's just
American.
American. An Admiral's Club.
Club.
We need to make sure we...
Yeah, mark that.
Yeah, there it is.
Brand properly.
There it is right there. What a shot that is. Look at it.
Beautiful.
Everybody in
the fax machine a couple of times just to send friends stuff.
That is not your typical smile.
Really quickly, not to go off on a tangent, but Desmond doesn't feel like Michigan's getting due process.
Well, I'm shocked. I know his objectivity in this matter is beyond reproach. So
I'll let that one be.
Joe Tessitore and Katie George again back with us. And by the way, this was not easy to pull off.
No.
We love coming on. This is a Friday ritual at this point.
What do you think of this week with Mr. Milroe?
You tell me, because you have done the deep dive all
I think
week.
It's an excellent coaching job by Tommy Rees is what I think. And I think it's a kid that's responsive and coachable. And I think that they understand what they have, and once they have committed to it, they added things. This is the most amazing quote of the week that I love. In spending time with Tommy Rees this week, Katie and I were talking to him about the evolution of Jalen Milroe. And he said, we literally have things in the playbook that didn't exist even a few weeks ago. That's excellent coaching. When you can say, especially at this level and with this program, when you can say, hey, we're going to adapt. We understand his strengths. We understand what makes us better. And by having the quarterback run out to the perimeter, which now allows him to open up passing lanes, to have confidence, to be instinctive and decisive, you're seeing a more fully blossomed quarterback who is so ridiculously dangerous athletically.
Well, it's been so collaborative, and I think that's what's impressive about it. You know, Tommy has told him, if you don't feel confident, if you don't like a play, great, I will get rid of it immediately. I want you to feel like your best. And he said, when you allow a quarterback to be in on the decision-making, creating the playbook, creating the scripts, right, that you're going to see, he said they feel empowered, they feel invested in the offense, and then they're able to rise and play at a higher level. We've seen that from Jalen Milroe. And Milroe told me this week, he said, I've never played for a coach who played the quarterback position. He said, Tommy Rees is so relatable. Everything that he says to me, whether that's in the week leading up or he said that's on the phone during the game, I know he's been in my shoes. I know he understands the pressure, what I'm going through, and that makes a huge difference for a young quarterback.
You a Tommy Rees guy? Where are you on Tommy Rees?
I was slow. I'm coming around.
He's 31 years old.
I thought he bungled the first part of the season.
Okay, well, how about just perspective?
Tommy Rees, celebrity roast
yeah, exactly.
here. But,
he's 31 years old. He was at one place since he was 18 years old.
I don't hate Joe.
He comes and he – hold on. He takes a head coach – he takes a play-calling job for the greatest head coach to ever exist, right, with the first time in a long time that there's no obvious future NFL franchise quarterback at the helm. The guy gets benched week three, and now we're talking about this team like this?
Well, I'm really concerned about the front part of the season because that game that he ended up getting benched for may end up costing Alabama a ticket. And I'm curious, Tommy Rees has been there since what? The
middle of spring, right?
I think he got there after O'Brien left in
right.
the winter. He knew who the quarterback was supposed to be.
Did he?
I think so. I'm in a meeting today, and the greatest quarterback I've ever watched said he thinks right now Jalen Milroe is playing at a level equal to Jaden Daniels and other people. And I'm just trying to figure out, maybe Joe, if you don't have your mind already made up in the springtime, after spring ball, that you want to bring in your former quarterback, maybe this thing would have gone a little bit smoother.
I would push
not,
back.
Not to interrupt this.
the love fest of
Tommy Rees. the canonization of Tommy Rees here by Father
Tessitore. I would push back on putting Jalen Milroe on the tier of a Jaden Daniels or some of the other quarterbacks.
I wasn't quoting myself. I was
quoting Tim Tebow. No, I know you're saying
Mr. Tebow,
right. I would push back on that. Now, Tim knows the position better than all of us combined. What I think is they're maximizing what he can deliver with his athletic gifts in shaping the offense that serves him. And to me, that's a fine balance between coaching and the player's reaction.
I don't know. I think it takes time, okay? Because whether Jalen Milroe was supposed to be the rightful starter or not, now he's playing his best. Devin Leary was supposed to be.
I don't need to watch the game tomorrow because I already know what the narrative's going to be from
you two. You know where I'm going here?
No, I'm making my point on the show.
The Jalen Milroe Love Fest tomorrow?
I'm making my point on this show.
I like an upset Katie Jones.
Well, we're in her
home state. Devin Leary, it took time. Now he's clicking on all cylinders. Liam Cohen has had to change his offensive system to cater to him. Jaden Daniels, last year, took a lot of time to start clicking with his offense. By this point of the season, we were crowning that man as one of the best quarterbacks in the SEC. I don't think it can happen overnight. It takes some time for these guys and their coordinators to get on the same page. Stop being distracted when I'm making an excellent point.
What's dripping down? There's a body up there.
Okay, there's something dripping onto the set. What am I supposed to pretend that something didn't drip in
ask
front of Paul?
Me on this.
So you make a very cogent argument.
Thank you.
I think it's a fair point.
Cogent.
And I think you're...
You can see the preparatory school. I went to public
elitist.
School. I said, cogent. He goes, cogent.
I don't think you even know that word in Louisville.
You're in good shape to analyze both. But it's a fair point also on the other side of Liam Cohen. And
I've driven by Choate. I've never been
I did not go to Choate. Listen, please, stop that.
Didn't your children?
They did, yes. What else we got?
I don't know. What
kind of game you think
little
we're
secret
get?
Here.
What kind of game do you think?
I prepare for every guest on the show.
Except us.
Okay. There's no reason to it.
I think we're going to. Here's what I will say.
I don't know where they were
game.
Going.
And by the way, that was Jordan Rodgers flying above us.
That is
right
wonderful.
Now in an Army Black Hawk helicopter.
He doesn't
because
care.
That is how we're opening
should
up.
Should we alert the media?
We should alert the media. I think we're getting a small ball game tomorrow. I think this is a small ball game tomorrow. I think this is a game that's going to be possession by possession, where coaches are happy if any possession ends in a kick, which is as a Saban axiom as old as time. But I think it's going to be mostly applied by Mark Stoops. I think this is a game where Mark Stoops and Brad White, the defensive coordinator, are going to take great pride in physicality. And I think they like to test themselves in that way. I do think they have the horses up front to do that, especially on the defensive line and at the linebacker position with great athletes. And I think they're going to challenge Alabama in that way. And I think, listen, Milroe's capable of breaking one on any play, but I think this is going to be a Kentucky team that plays very sound and very physical defense up front.
I loved what Brad White told us today. He told a story about when he was on the Colts staff and Bruce Arians was the interim head coach there about to play the Packers in 2012. And he said Bruce Arians came into the locker room and said, there are games where three stars, if the three stars play their best, we can win. This is a game, your five stars have to be at their best. That's Trevin Wallace, that's Derek Jackson, that's Deonte Walker. They have to be excellent tomorrow to pull off this upset.
Wallace has the athleticism to spy and shadow anybody in the SEC. He's that fast, he's that freakish athletically.
Deon, when
he's at his best, is arguably one of the best defensive linemen in the country. That's just a flat-out fact.
When he's at his best.
But he needs
he's
to be
capable
at his best
of
consistently.
That at his best. Okay. He is capable of playing at that level. Yes. So they have the guys in the front seven to neutralize things with Alabama's offense.
So you're sensing what?
I am sensing a game.
You think
that
it's a
early
possession game in the fourth?
In the second half of this game, if it is played without any outlier plays, X-factor plays and special teams, turnovers that go for 60-yard swings, I think this will be a tightly played game by both sides. That feels like a one-possession game in the third quarter of this game.
Third quarter.
Usually it's fourth quarter.
Joe's moving it to third quarter because he has to go out tonight in Lexington.
Here it is. No, that's how we're closing out. That's how we're closing out the third quarter, Paul. That's how we're doing it. We're closing out the third quarter as the final seconds tick down in the third quarter, and Kentucky has the ball. Alabama is trying to claim another SEC West, but Kentucky's within striking distance, and we will find out when we have the fourth quarter and return to Lexington. One possession game.
What he didn't tell you is Alabama's on the 1 yard line.
Excellent.
Are we doing dinner tonight?
Joe.
Back to back weeks, dinner on Friday nights.
It would be my honor. I don't know.
By the way,
it would be your honor.
Sharply dressed. Sartorial splendor.
He looks nice.
Multi layers. The T-shirt. The magnificent denim shirt. Is that denim? What is that?
Lululemon. I don't know.
Of course,
my wife
it's Lululemon. Of course.
Can you imagine Lululemon? Hold on.
We're getting the credit card out. We'll spend more.
You got a 19-year-old, and she looks at me, and she like goes the other way instead of asking me if she can help me.
The salesperson approaches you at Lululemon and is repelled.
The salespeople don't speak to me at Lululemon.
They size you up right away.
They know I'm with my wife.
That's it. Yeah.
This guy's not buying.
It's the doc.
This guy's never been in.
You look sharp. You look handsome. The four layers is good on you. It's a very autumnal look. I like it very much.
You do well with layers. Looks like you went to Choate.
He does. He does look very – he would have been a great New England prep school guy. I could see it now. I could see it.
Yeah, except
elbow patches.
The only problem,
the whole
Katie,
thing.
There was no one in my family that could have afforded it. Unlike the Texas
son
children.
Of an immigrant from Schenectady, New York. What are we talking about? I'm flipping pizzas and shredding mozzarella. Stop it! Come on.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In a few minutes to back Athens. We've already been there once. We'll spend a lot of time there as we are live in Lexington on a gorgeous autumn day on the cool side. But we appreciate all of you being here. Let's check a caller or two. We're in the Commonwealth, so let's go to Louisville. Hey, John.
Hey, Paul. Welcome to the Commonwealth. And just a tip, you can quit looking at your phone for updates. It's done for the weekend.
I hear you.
I think those fellows up in Ann Arbor schooled the Big Ten on due process and the bylaws, so something will come out next week. But anyways, before I give you my predictions, Paul, real quick, a salute to all the veterans, particularly Larry, who served in Nam. I think Daryl served in Iraq. My brother, a Marine Corps pilot, was in the first Iraq War, so shout out to all the veterans. And also a shout out to probably Judge Judy of the Federal District Court, the Eastern Division of Michigan, Ann Arbor Courthouse. I think she was on call today in case something happened. the only reason I think that, Paul, is because she's a graduate of the University of Michigan, also graduate of the law school and a former adjunct professor. So I think
well,
Tom Marsh can
John,
take the case to
I
her.
I was concerned that once Harbaugh got on the bus, ESPN showed that. And my original theory was that Petiti was waiting for the plane to take off before he drove. But then I was told reliably by Desmond Howard that the university actually took the judge. They took their own judge with them. You know, sometimes you take professors on a field trip. They took their own judge, so they just followed the injunction while drinks are being served on the way to Happy Valley.
That would be Judge Judith Levy of the federal court there, yeah. Hey, three quick predictions, and I know this one won't go over well, but once again, another double-digit win by I think is the improving Alabama team versus what I think a Kentucky team that's peaked and reached its ceiling probably 2 years ago. I'm looking for upset alert for Missouri over Tennessee, just based on how the two teams have played in the last few weeks. And I'm going to put Michigan on the upset alert, but no more than that because well, as you say, James Franklin's still the coach there.
Thanks for the call. We are still awaiting some news, and it could be imminent, but let's head to Athens first. Holly Rowe joining us on the call for the big game tomorrow night. It's always great to talk to Holly on these Friday afternoons. Holly, great to talk to you, and can't wait to hear what you've been digging up about the big game tomorrow night.
I just dropped out, guys.
Okay. Apparently, we did lose Holly for a second. We'll see if we can get her back as we await. A lot of different things are happening right now at the same time. Robert is up next. Robert, go right ahead.
Yeah, I got. How you doing, first, Paul? Today?
We're doing great. Thank you.
I got two questions. One about Arkansas head coach Sam Pittman, and one about Michigan. Pretty sure Sam Pittman's probably going to be gone this year. Do you think Nick Saban may reach out to him since he is an offensive line coach and maybe help with the offensive line and maybe restore Sam Pittman's career a little bit?
Well, first of all, I don't know anything about Sam Pittman and his job status. I think there's a lot of conversations about that. But I do believe that with the win last week, he may have bought himself a little more breathing room. Okay, let's go back to Holly. We never heard from her, but we do want to say hello to her. As I asked her a minute ago about the big game tomorrow night, and we lost her, but that happens. This is live television. Hey, Holly.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
We are doing great. So tell us all about Athens and all the nuggets you're filing away for tomorrow night.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting because this Georgia team is on the brink of doing something historic, trying to win three straight national championships. And talking to Carson Beck, talking to Smile London, they have these takes on how this team ranks in those three teams that have been fighting for a national championship. And the word that kept coming up over and over was resilient. They have been behind in games. They've had to come back. They have had injuries. They have another big injury this week. But they also may get tight end Brock Bowers back. Everything we have heard around Athens, he is tracking to possibly play on Saturday. If that's the case, number one, he is an absolute freak healer. It would be 26 days since his surgery, which is considered, it's called a tightrope procedure. That's a high ankle sprain, helps him come back a little bit quicker from that. We don't know how much he'll play or if for sure he will play. Things are in flux, but right now it is tracking that he could contribute to this Georgia football team on Saturday, and that would just be huge news for the Bulldogs.
Yeah, it's interesting. I keep hearing, as you are, that there'll be some limited use. I'm particularly interested, and I don't know if you've had a chance to visit with the coaches yet, but how do you think they would use him, Holly?
You know, if he plays, I think it's going to be because he is capable of doing everything that they need. I've heard a lot of theories being floated around that he would be out there as a decoy or this or that. If Brock Bowers is on the field, it's because he can go 100% and they believe that he is at full speed and full strength. I doubt that they would put him out there if they felt like he couldn't block, if he couldn't cut. One consideration to keep in mind is it is expected to rain. It is raining here right today. So if the field is wet, that could also be a consideration of, yeah, he's ready to play, he's ready to go full speed, but maybe not on a wet field, because with that high ankle, it's a matter of cutting, stopping and starting quickly, change of direction. So that is something to keep in mind, is if it is raining, that could change the prognosis for Brock Bowers.
Holly, I'm curious. I don't know. I started thinking about all the different weather. When you do outdoor sports, I know you do a lot of indoor sports as well, but when it rains, how complicated is it? Not so much because you're going to get wet, but I mean, you're dealing with a lot of equipment.
Yeah, it's complicated for everybody. I will tell you this funny story. So we were at practice yesterday, and Kirby Smart, you know, he has a microphone, so he's on a mic, and he's hysterical. Like, you can't believe how great this guy is on the mic. And Kirby's like, why aren't these footballs wet? We need these footballs wet. Where's the wet football? They have a super soaker out there spraying down the footballs Thursday at practice. You know, they want to make sure that their team is prepared in case it is a downpour. You know, it does change how you throw the ball. The ball gets a little bit heavier. It's a little bit harder to catch. Your path to cut and move on pass routes is a little bit different. It's harder for defenders because they have to react quickly. For me, it's not that big a deal. I'm a vet, so I have all my rain gear. I already keep it on the truck. It travels with us every week, so no matter where I am, I have my rain gear. And then I have a clear clipboard, so even if it's wet and raining, my notes don't get all messed up because I put it inside this clear clipboard. So we're going to roll. Even if it's rainy here in Athens, we're going to roll.
Holly will not be stopped by the weather. As LeBron said, Holly baby, right?
Exactly.
It's been 2 weeks since you told us that, but I'm still laughing at it. Holly Rowe live in
I just want
Athens.
You to only ever call me Holly Baby from now on. Can we just make that a deal?
I'm saving it for the next time I see you up close. I want to make sure it has the right elocution. Thanks, Holly. So great to see you. Holly Rowe making the effort every week to be with us from her game. And we are live in Lexington. Tim Tebow, Roman Harper among the guests coming up. We're also waiting for some news from the Big Ten. We expect it this afternoon.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
We've got a big day on Saturday, a lot of fantastic games, and it begins early in the day, and tomorrow night it ends with Florida LSU. We have some breaking news. Pete Thamel reporting at this hour that the Big Ten is expected to discipline Michigan for the in-person scouting and ongoing sign-stealing investigation and will prohibit Jim Harbaugh from being on the sidelines until the conclusion of the regular season. That's three more games, including tomorrow at Penn State, Maryland, and the season finale against Ohio State. So this would mean, assuming that this holds up, he will be eligible for the Big Ten championship game. He will be allowed to travel with the team. He's on the team plane right now. They are in the air heading for Pennsylvania. More on that in a minute. Tim Tebow, who's not involved in the sign stealing scandal. Can you imagine if you were? That would be a scandal.
Oh, man. And, of course, it's Pete Thamel. Man, he's always on the scoop.
I think when Jim takes out his garbage at night, Pete's right there to go through it.
He does. Pete gets everything.
We do have a game here tomorrow, and the fans are very excited. Now, I heard some of your comments earlier about Jalen Milroe, and I want you to share them because for a guy that many of us were watching the first two or three weeks and going, what's up here, things have changed.
I really think so. I love the way that he's playing. I love the decisiveness. I love the confidence. I love the focus he's playing with. He's getting better as a progression passer, but I also love the way that Tommy Rees is using his legs, his athleticism, his strength. You could make a case right now that Jaden Daniels for LSU was playing as good as anybody. He's up there for the Heisman. Well, for 3 hours last Saturday night, Jalen Milroe was playing just as good as Jaden Daniels. And I mean, wow, what a long way he's come from the beginning of the season. And I think we should give him a lot of credit, the staff a lot of credit, and the players around him. But, man, he is taking the next step every week. We've seen him have the big plays down the field with his arm. But now he's playing with that freakish athletic ability and really letting it go. And I love some of the design runs that we're going to demo tomorrow for Nation, because the way they're scheming it, and if he plays like that with that decisiveness – Alabama's not the same team that played Texas week two. They're a completely different team.
Some people are rightfully praising Tommy Rees, but I'm particularly curious, and I realize seasons evolve, but the pedestrian question to those of us who haven't done what you have done, which is nobody, why is he now implementing certain things? Explain that distinction.
Well, it's hard to change a scheme, and it's hard to change an offense, and it's hard to build within a season, right? You only can put in certain plays, and you only can work them, because behind every play is a principle and a scheme, and you have to teach that for every and because you see so many different options. So, you know, let's just say it's one zone read play, but that's not it. It's not a zone read play. It changes based on a 3-4, a 4-3, an over G, an under G, odd, a bear. Every different spacing, there's a different principle that everyone has to know on that offense versus every different scheme. And so you can't just go out there and put in a bunch of new plays that you haven't repped versus every look, because a great defense is going to give you one look and then change it and then change it and then change it. And so it's hard to, you know, sometimes you watch on TV and you say, well, just run a different play, run what they're doing. But it's not just running that play. It's knowing running that play, but being able to adjust that play against every different look. And so what I love about what Tommy Rees has done is he has been able to put some plays in and some schemes in slowly throughout the season that Jalen is really comfortable with. And you can see it because of the way he plays. And it's kind of behind the bigger principles that Alabama believes in. And you can see them firing at all cylinders right now.
And flipping it around to Devin Leary, who's had some good moments. It seems like he's reaching some sort of rhythm.
Yes,
what do you see with him?
Well, athletic ability and talent, arm talent's never been the issue. I think part of it's been timing. I think part of it has been getting a little bit more comfortable. I think part of it is rhythm, and then having something to build on. When you're in certain games, when it started off hot, then they're fighting an uphill battle. But right now, he looks like he's got better timing with some of the receivers. He's got a few more easy throws, and he's getting into that rhythm where he feels like, okay, I'm not forcing it. I'm playing within the offense. And I think when he does that, his talent takes over because he has a silly arm, like a lot of talent. And early they got Ray Davis going. Now they're getting Devin going early, and I think they really need that, especially tomorrow, a noon kickoff. Like, Devin has to get going because they can stay in it with Ray, but to win it, Devin has to be able to take over with his arm.
And the last time we were here, about 5 or 6 weeks ago, I mean, it was the same noon kickoff, and
yes,
and Ray went crazy against Florida.
Yeah, they really did. And I think that day it was also based on their physicality and their scheme. I love their designs, what Liam was doing in that game with counters and traps and different pulls and gap scheme running. They really dominated Florida up front. I don't think they'll be able to do that against Alabama, and that's why I think you have to do enough in that to be able to sustain it, but you have to be able to also have that play action work down the field.
When you can't out-physical Alabama, but this team is capable of taking it pretty far, though, aren't they? I mean, they're built different than a lot of teams.
They are. You know, I think in this matchup, there's going to be that physicality that's going to really matter. But then I also think it's the playmakers they've got to take over. You know, when's the last time we've seen someone upset Alabama without a playmaker having an exceptional game?
Doesn't happen.
And that's where I think a couple of these receivers, they have the ability, and they've been great at times. Now this is that moment, right, where they could really step up and make some plays down the field and also help Devin out a lot as well.
And we'll leave it there. But again, Tim Tebow, who, of course, is involved in the middle of the Jim Harbaugh scandal. More on that coming up. Pete Thamel is reporting that you are not going to be suspended for tomorrow's show.
Yes.
Tim, thank you very much for bearing with us on the breaking
thank
news.
Thank you, buddy.
Always
yeah.
great to see you. Tim Tebow here live in Kentucky. We'll update you more on the Big Ten thing. We expect an official announcement very shortly. More as we continue here.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.